They have to make a choice. Keep the leader, get rid of the leader. Choose Andy Burnham, choose Wes Streeting, or someone else. What's your advice?
My advice is choose your direction first. And make sure that before you have any leadership change, you make all the candidates set out in detail their policy. What the government's got right, what it's got wrong, what we should do differently.
And we've seen some of that, and you're pretty scathing about it, aren't you? You say that Burnham and Streeting are both getting it wrong in the promises they've made so far.
Well, I just think when you look at the analysis, for example, and by the way, I hope Andy wins Makerfield. I think he's a great guy. I want to see him in Parliament. But, you know, when he does this thing about 40 years of, wasted, I don't know what it is. We've been going the wrong
40 years of neoliberalism, right. He says.
Okay. So, I mean, we're 2026. Let's go back to 1986. Well, we assume he doesn't mean the first 7 years of Margaret Thatcher, right? So back to the 70s. I mean, okay, and what, nothing good happened in that period of Thatcher with the business community or New Labour? I don't think he really means that. But what I'm saying, if you're going to change leader, you've really got to force people to say where they stand, because otherwise you'll be in what I think was always a problem for Keir. And I'll be very honest about this, and I like him and I wish him well. But when we switched from that Corbyn agenda, there wasn't enough explanation, not as to why Corbyn was an election loser, that was pretty obvious, but why the whole agenda was wrong. You have to explain to people why it's wrong if you want to lead the party in the future in a coherent way.
You see, I think some people listening to this, particularly in the Labour Party, will say, yes, we do want leadership that has a mission and an agenda. It is protecting working people. And what Burnham calls neoliberalism has protected the rich. And they look at you and they say, look, Tony Blair, he flies around the world. He's with the tech bros. He's staying in smart hotels and on private jets. He understands the have-yachts and not the have-nots.
Yeah, I mean, you can. And that's the easiest thing for people to say, so that they don't have to deal with the argument. But by the way, when I was in office, we had a strong economy. We had improving public services. You know, we had improving results in education. We reduced poverty, both for pensioners and for children. You know, we were a progressive government. We weren't a neoliberal government. We doubled the spending on the health service, for heaven's sake, and introduced the minimum wage.
So people know that you spent some time during the Corbyn years thinking whether it's time to launch a brand new political party, a kind of movement like Emmanuel's Macron. This essay reads to me like a man who wishes he'd done it.
No, I don't wish I'd done it, but I think a lot of the issues that were raised at the time are still there and with us. And look, my whole belief about the Labour Party, it's had 120 years of history. It's been in power really for about a quarter of that time. And the reason for that is what I always call the birth defect of the Labour Party, when you separated the liberal progressive side from the Labour side. And New Labour was an attempt to fuse those two things back together. And that's why we won successive elections. The trouble is, since then, we've moved away from that. And you do have, I think, this unrepresented centre in British politics. And I think it's basically a supply problem and not a demand problem.
There are a couple